Did you know that the NBA are going to have a Disney alt broadcast?
Can we start over?
No.
So you throw him the brain destroyer.
You're sitting there like a fucking baboon. I hate fucking with you, sir. I couldn't stop it fucking 3 or 4 hours, right? Wow.
And I'm a man who loves to play with boys.
Honey blow, honey blow.
Oh, yeah, the clown. The only one of you buffoons who doesn't make me laugh. And as for you, I don't know you, but I'm sure you're a jerk.
Dude, why did you hit... Okay. We should start over.
Why?
I just want you to bring it down a few notches.
I need it to...
It's been raining all week. I don't know why. I think you need to listen to your body more and slow down and spend more time in bed.
Dude, I'm the master of spending time in bed.
Yeah.
I sleep 5 hours and then I work for 90 minutes and then I come home and sleep for 4 hours.
That's not enough sleep.
Nine hours isn't enough?
Oh. Yeah, 9 total.
Yeah.
You just started out yelling at me and I just was immediately put on the defensive.
You intimidated by my 5'8 stature?
I am. Well, when we're sitting down.
I guess, you know, it levels out.
When we're dead, we're all the same height.
Facts.
What was your first concert?
My first concert was, I saw my uncle play at Chalk It Up.
that fucking counts.
That's the first concert.
That counts. What kind of music did he play?
Just like garage rock.
Okay.
The Sacramento band Pets.
Was it originals or covers or what?
Yeah, he writes his own stuff. And
if it's originals, I think that absolutely counts.
Yeah. He had band partner, best friend in like 2001, I think they met, and then eventually got married, I think, in 2013 or 14.
What is it with uncles and starting bands?
It's a thing. Well,
is that the previous? I mean, the current generation is my uncle has a podcast.
Right. But he was born, you know, in 75, where like in the suburbs as a white kid. So he played basketball and played guitar.
Ah.
He wasn't on an iPad growing up.
Yeah.
He wasn't consuming content in his youth. Mm-hmm. My first bigger show was, I think, Weezer. I think I saw Weezer.
Was that in an arena or like at a smaller?
It was at in San Francisco outside. I don't remember the name of the venue.
Like an amphitheater or something?
Something like that.
How old were you?
I was 11. I didn't really go to concert as a kid.
What about Weezer spoke to you as an 11-year-old? What were like the hits?
Them playing Blue Album. So, you know, My Name is Jonas.
Yeah.
In the Garage, Buddy Holly. Saying Ain't So.
Gotcha.
They were just touring the Blue Album again. And I think, if you want me to go super musical history gay guy, I think their first two albums are like insanely good. And if Rivers like died after the first two albums, he'd be like seen as like Kurt Cobain Jr.
Who are the best gay guys throughout musical history? Who comes to mind? I got two right off the bat.
Bowie and Elton John, or like...
Mine was Elton John, Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury, yeah.
There's probably a funnier answer there, but I haven't found it yet. Oh, Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
that's why he killed himself.
Courtney Love? Nah.
He said nah. Amadeus?
What about him?
I don't know. Was he gay?
I don't know. I didn't listen.
Is Amadeus a guy or is that just the Mozart song?
I think that's the song.
Wait, no. His name was Amadeus Mozart.
It was Wolfgang.
Well, who was Amadeus then?
I thought that was a song from 1985.
Just about a guy named Amadeus?
Yeah. I thought it became like a Broadway thing.
Well, then there was the hit like 80s song, Amadeus, Amadeus.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, there's a guy?
That's obviously referencing something.
Because
there was that like 3-hour Mozart movie.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably look this up because we're too fucking stupid.
There was a film in 1984. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
I watched it in high school. It was all right.
Yeah, it's about Wolfgang.
Yeah. Wolfgang Mozart?
Wolfgang First Amadeus name? Mozart.
Oh, okay.
So his middle name apparently is Amadeus.
That's like a triple hitter, dude. Like, that's badass.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
That's incredible. You can go by all any of those three names.
Yeah. I think Wolfgang has to be the best one, though.
We need a Wolfgang on this podcast.
You're Team Jacob. You are Wolfgang.
Oh! Oh, oh, oh! I watched Eclipse. I don't know if I had seen Eclipse as of last week. Okay. I think I'd only seen New Moon.
Clip I put in
Nothing happens from... in Eclipse.
Okay. Oh, okay. I was going to say, was the heroin clip from Eclipse or from the first movie?
I think that's in the first movie.
Okay.
I was too busy giggling and gabbing watching the first movie to really pay attention.
Yeah.
It's like Edward telling Bella, like, you're my own personal heroine or something like that. Yeah. The first movie really has a lot more of that, like, you know, falling in love type teenage nonsense, mm-hmm. you know, that I can see why people would get into it. And then it's like a lot of narratives. It just, they got to keep making books.
Yeah.
I don't know what the process was for Stephanie Meyer. If like she had written out all of the books already and like a hyper, like a 6 month long, like hyperfixation, and then just kind of released them over time. Or if it was like the first book came out and then it was successful. So then she released the sequel. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how she got a deal.
Maybe it became a ghostwriter group effort after the first one. No?
No, I think from my understanding is it's all her, and as soon as she tries to write a more complex narrative, more than just, like, teenage horniness, it just gets real messy. The third movie, and I assume, you know, I'm sure there's stuff that they left out and all this kind of stuff, but, like, so the second movie ends with Edward asking Bella, will you marry me?
Yeah.
Do you want to know how the third movie ends?
Jacob asking Bella.
No, Edward asking Bella, will you marry me? It's awesome. The characters are in the exact same place. There's nothing that has changed. I think they killed one or two vampires or something. They're hyping up the new bloods the entire movie. Because when you first become a vampire, you're like feral.
Yeah.
So you're like fucking ravenous, like just getting after it. It's like these the cool hipster vampires up in Seattle are coming down to Forks, basically. Okay. And then they have, like, a fight scene, and it's over in 5 minutes, and then they just go back to... It's a common complaint of, like, B-movies that, like, they just... It's just people walking around the woods.
Yeah.
And that feels like most of the Twilight films. Mm. Walking around the woods, there's, like, one or two shots in a high school. But mostly, it's just them walking around the woods. Oh, my favorite part of Eclipse, though, because the werewolves have... for whatever reason, they don't wear shirts.
Yeah.
When they're in human form. And so...
Too annoying.
Well, I think they just want to show off their hot twink bots.
So yeah, the shirts chafe their beautiful bodies.
Yeah. They're just like all perfectly tanned and slim, like otters and twinks, just ready to, you know, get freaky with it.
Yeah.
What you're hearing now...
Is him fapping to Jacob.
Is cat belly. Because this boy can't control himself. But yeah, that's my Twilight... minute. I haven't watched any of Breaking Dawn yet. I'm unsure if I want to do it in a marathon format, you know, mm-hmm. like an intermission between the two films, or if you know, I just want to space it out. We'll see. Did you watch all the Harry Potter stuff? You were coming of age when that stuff was coming out.
No, I only did that for like dates. I wasn't really interested in Harry Potter on my own.
It was just Yu-Gi-Oh straight into Melee.
It was, well, there's a lot of Simpsons and SpongeBob is the primary fathers of mine.
Okay. Father of mine.
My progression went Thomas the Tank Engine into Bugs Bunny to SpongeBob to Homer Simpson. And that's where it kind of stopped. And then when I was like 16, it was like Twin Peaks, Deadwood, more Sopranos, more real TV.
I think that's the fucked up part about your generation with the internet. It's like you were being told at 14 years old, like, oh, bro, you got to watch Sopranos. You got to watch Twin Peaks. Like, all these shows already existed.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas those were, like, coming out. Like, I mean, Twin Peaks was when I was, like, a kid.
Yeah.
But, like, Sopranos was, like, being created when I was, like, in middle school. So nobody was saying, bro, you got to watch Sopranos.
Bro, you got... Well, because by my generation was like, bro, you got to watch YouTuber 20x12 or whatever the fuck.
Well, I think... I guess what I'm saying is it's, like, you've already... Your media recommendations were already being poisoned by the internet and not just your peers.
Well, my peers was my brother, my older brother, and my dad.
Right,
but you and my mom.
But you and your brother are only like 2 or 3 years apart.
Less than that, like a year and a half.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, you're essentially growing up on like the same stuff for the most part.
I don't know. I guess Tame Impala was like the thing that came out when I was like 10.
Is that how you say that?
Tame Impala.
Is it Tame?
Yeah, what would you...
It's not Tame?
Tame Impala?
I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
Fucking fraud.
I've never heard it said out loud before. This is a gal that plays guitar, right?
Uh-huh.
Do I have that those facts right? I've never
listened. It's a guy named Kevin.
Oh, it's like, a guy. Okay. Yeah. Why did I think it was a lady?
I don't know. Because a lot of ladies like him.
Tame.
Tame Impala.
It's Tame?
Yeah, it's Tame Impala.
Is that their name?
Their name is like Kevin Parker or something. And then he's an Australian guy. Who has, like, a couple of, like...
Kevin Parker.
I think so. Yeah, it's just one guy who goes by that name who has, like, session musicians in with them.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, Kevin Parker.
Because I'm thinking about, like, the internet's influence on, like, my media consumption. One of the earlier parts of the internet that I was on was the video game message boards, GameFAQs.com.
Yeah.
I often refer to it as GameFAGs. Just because it was...
It was right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Q looked like a G.
Yes.
But, yeah, I got into a lot of arguments about, you know, video games on there in the early days. I don't think with, like, TV and movies, I think my interest just went to video games early enough at, like, 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I was just more interested in consuming and any video game-related content.
Yeah.
I remember Devil May Cry and Resident Evil were two games that I was not going to play.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that they had gotten recommended to me. On that website, and I was like, oh, okay, like I'll check these out. And then Resident Evil was too scary, and Devil May Cry became like one of my favorite video games. But
yeah,
there's probably something there as far as like, you know, how culture is just like this. We have like a pop culture is now like a monoculture in so many ways. It's just like, yeah, whatever's trending,
right?
You know, it's no longer what your friends are into. It's now what like you guys are all listening to other people on the internet,
yeah,
talk about. I don't know.
Yeah, because I, like, most of my self-discovery where my parents weren't at was on YouTube. And that just became, like, watching just a bunch of people play video games, starting with really people who've been around forever, like Proton John. And now it's, like, and I have the whole, like, seeing Nanners phase, and I can go on with YouTubers you don't know. And then, yeah, I still...
Name some more YouTubers.
In. Yeah, no, I wasn't going to.
No, name some more. I want to hear their names.
Mr. Sark. Hutch. Hutch, you might know because he's Hutch a liberal
like
a, guy.
Hutch sounds like a first-person shooter guy.
All three of those guys are... Were you aware of the company Machinima?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All three of those guys came Machinima. From there.
Well, because they used to be... They used to do the video game stuff on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
G4 TV.
Yeah, Sark came from G4.
Yeah, previously Tech TV.
Right.
That eventually became like Spike TV or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff ruled.
This place rules.
Machinima mm-hmm. was sick because it was mostly, you know, you're just getting to see new video games and like, but it's just, they're the biggest one was like the Halo red versus blue stuff.
Yeah.
Where you're seeing, using the in-game characters or whatever, they're creating stories and plot lines.
Yeah, that's,
and like,
that term eventually became with. Machinimas.
That is what started... did that term not exist before?
It was a thing that happened, but like Halo or Smash Bros. Brawl or whatever had machinimas, which is like doing stories with the game engine.
I'm realizing now that this is what the AI-generated YouTube slop, Frozen Spider-Man... pregnant Hulk videos became, where it's like, here's the familiar characters your 10-year-old brain recognizes,
uh-huh,
but we're just gonna
fetishize it, or
we're gonna boil this down to its bare essentials where it's gonna keep your attention.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's the dissolution of the art form, like basically it just
delusion
ruins everything. Yeah. Basically it gets down to like this core thing that's just literally there just to keep your attention, and there's no actual redeeming quality or interesting narrative or anything like that.
That's what, like, to me, the Zelda games are. Or, actually, no, better example would be the Sonic games. Just Sonic games have been horrible since, like, the first game.
Yeah.
And people are only interested in it because either liking Sonic as a personality, becoming a furry, or, like, seeing how bad the games are.
I think I fall in the Sonic camp. I think I fall on team. These games were always bad.
Right.
The original games were good enough for their time.
Yeah.
But they could never figure out what to do with it after that, besides, well, what does Sonic do? He goes fast.
Well, and then
I've never played really any 3D Sonic games, though. Especially, I feel like if I had played Sonic Adventure 2 when I was 12 years old, I might have a greater fondness for it.
Yeah.
But now I just enjoy it for the depression memes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that is my entry point with Sonic now.
Yeah, because Sonic, I think the first game for its time was good, and people liked Sonic and Knuckles or Sonic and Tails or whatever.
And dude, going to the video game rental store, because Sonic and Knuckles was like a plug-in.
Yeah.
And you plugged your old Sonic 2 cartridge into Sonic and Knuckles, and then Knuckles was in the video game?
Yeah.
That was fucking magic.
That's crazy, yeah.
That shit was fucking crazy, dude. Like that.
You got DLC, physical.
That was insane. That was so fucking crazy. Flipped open. Are you going to see the new movie?
No.
You're not interested? Have you seen the other two?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any Sonic movie.
Fake gamer, dude.
Have
you seen the Mario movie?
Literally.
What was the last video game movie you saw?
Literally, only as of last week, I saw the Mario movie.
Shit.
Yeah, Rebecca wanted to watch it last week, so we watched it last week.
What spurred that? It was just saying, I gotta put this, we need to put something.
Her on. Little brother watched it and thought it was not half bad, so thus we watched it.
Ah, okay, gotcha. What was your review of the Mario movie?
Probably is a better movie than the Bob Hoskins movie.
Fuck, that's fucked up for you to say. In what sense?
I don't know. It seemed like the love of the first movie was just like, again, memes of how bad it was. Whereas I don't think this movie was a great animated film, but I don't know. It seemed like, for it being a movie, pretty imaginative, which is kind of what I want from Mario after 40 years. Just like, do something new. And I feel like some of that stuff was new.
Imaginative?
Yeah.
It literally just goes direct. It's, hey, how many references can we fit of things you already know while giving you no plot whatsoever? And not only that, we're not going to use any of the fucking music. We're just going to have all these stupid licensed songs.
No, if you... they actually did, like, do new orchestra of old music. Like, Mario Bros. 3 music, Mario World music, all the old music is in there.
For,
it's
like,
just,
for like, 10 seconds?
It's like, I don't know, 20 seconds using transition of, like, songs and using a new orchestra.
I don't know. Maybe it was just the Chris Pratt just ruined it for me. I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's where you're a memer.
Yeah, I just couldn't.
Chris Pratt's Italian accent, you're just like, nope.
I feel like having Goombas basically be Nazi foot soldiers is way more creative, personally, and like having tiny little heads in the Bob Hoskins, the live action.
Oh, film, okay.
Yeah, they're just like, they're like these big motherfuckers, and they're dumb as shit, like every, you know, fucking fascist, but they're just like,
I think it was very true to Mario. The story was, like, Peach is the object of Bowser.
Not saying it's a grand narrative by any means. But I think the live-action thing is more interesting on rewatch because they actually tried to do something new with the franchise rather than just, here's the thing you already know in a different format.
Okay, one thing that's really funny about the Mario movie is it starts with, like, Mario is like a 45-year-old man or whatever, and he's having like the teenage, like, my dad doesn't get me, my family doubts me type story arc. Yeah. I found that funny.
Yeah, yeah, because it's, you know, it's one of those movies where you're watching it, there's nothing in it for adults that I remember.
It's
literally just for children, and I think that's what's really disappointing when I go and see a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I like the Sonic movies, because they're still dumb as shit. But there are small bits in there, and they have live-action characters in the Sonic movies, right?
It's
a live-action movie with Sonic.
Yeah.
Where there's enough, like, real stuff going on. I don't know. The last one had Jim Carrey in it, and he was hamming it up, and that was fun.
Well, if you look at Jim Carrey's Wikipedia, it's like, I'm taking a break from acting until a role needs me, and it's like, doing Eggman again for Sonic the next movie.
Role of a lifetime.
Yeah.
I think that's where I just need, because I really enjoy going and seeing these movies in theaters.
Yeah.
Because you get, I think I've told you this before, but like, there's parts of those movies that I find boring as shit.
Yeah.
But seeing them in a crowd full of 5-year-olds, you get to appreciate different aspects of the movie.
Sure.
Where it's like, oh, there's a fart joke. And you're like, well, that was kind of stupid, but it made that kid laugh. That's hilarious.
Sure.
You know, the Mario movie on its own did not have any of that for me. Maybe it would have been a different experience in a theater, but like, that just felt like a fucking slog the whole way through for me.
I think like not even an adult joke, but like maybe the one thing an adult could appreciate was, I think there is a bit of like Peach emasculating Mario, and that's it.
It had a lot of girl power stuff, which of course it's going to.
Yeah.
You know, girls get it done, of course.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject
yeah.
of video game princesses.
Sure.
How about Zelda getting snubbed for the Game Awards? I don't know if you follow this news.
I followed only the news that, like, up for Game Awards is a DLC of a game.
Yeah, the Elden Ring DLC.
Right. That's what I've seen people being mad about.
Oh, I mean, it's not like it's DLC for, like, Call of Duty. It's fucking Souls games. They're like, the DLC is like 20 to 30 hours onto itself, if not more. You know what I mean? Like, it's large.
I haven't played it. So yeah, I'm just seeing what people are mad about.
Clearly. The Smash community is upset.
That's how I... No. That's how I grow my brain, is I see what people are mad at.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, is this something I should also be mad at?
I just took note of that. I don't know. So Zelda got snubbed or something?
Well... So I was listening to a hot take on another podcast called The Besties.
Okay.
And they were saying, because this new Zelda game, Echoes of Wisdom.
We're not on Tears of the Kingdom?
No. This is another, it's like in the form of Tears of the Kingdom was last year.
Okay.
Echoes of Wisdom came out this year. It's another Switch game, but it's in the style of like Link's Awakening. It's like the top down.
Oh, okay.
But it's not starring Link, it's starring Zelda.
Nice.
Because Link has been kidnapped or whatever. And the main gameplay thing is you're like similar to... Did you ever play the game Scribblenauts?
Yes.
It's Scribblenauts.
Oh, okay.
Zelda? Yes, yeah. Except you have to like capture the object first in the world, but then you can just generate it anywhere. Okay. And that's how you like solve puzzles and stuff. Damn, that's I haven't thought about Scribblenauts in like a decade. That's fucking crazy. But yeah. It is literally just Scribblenauts with a Zelda motif. And people really like it because you're able to just break stuff in a bunch of unique ways. You know, basically you just generate beds as platforms. But the hot take is that it's not nominated for like Game of the Year or anything.
Uh-huh.
And the take is like, yeah, well, it's starring a girl. And I think there is something to that of like, if it was starring Link, I think people would be a little bit more. I really haven't heard much about it besides... You know, people saying, oh, it's really good, it's fun, it's creative, it's fun to see my younger kid play it, because they will find ways of solving things that I wouldn't have even thought of, because right. They're able to just use their imagination.
Gamers being misogynist? couldn't imagine.
Well, see, but the Game Awards is, like, the way that they decide it, it's not like, I believe the Oscars has, like, a panel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, foreign panel.
30 or luminaries or yeah. something from the industry. The way the Game Awards works is it's like over 100 people like across the country or across the world, but it's like game journalists, it's influencers, it's not like specific people. It's like there's industry people, there's media people, there is just like your average YouTuber or uh-huh. whatever. And then I think the general public also gets to vote. Maybe not for the nominees, but they get to vote on the awards in some aspect, too. I don't know. The Game Awards is kind of a shit show, and I think last year people were kind of rightfully taking it to task of like, oh, this is just, like, full of advertisements.
Yeah.
But that's, like, how they are able to do the show is by selling airtime. So, I don't know. It's interesting to have, like, a here are the Game Awards mm-hmm. for this industry, but video games being, like, probably one of the least artful, like it's something that is not, it's much, I feel like video games are, it's much more difficult to say, oh, this is like a piece of art in the same way that a film is. Obviously, if you're defining art, it's just anything that causes you to feel emotions.
Right.
But video games themselves are so dependent on the player, and also like so many games are just designed to appeal to a mass audience. It feels weird to say like, oh, this is the highest form of this media yeah. that came out this year, because it's literally for everybody.
I'm still waiting for the podcast awards to be invented. I wanna, Chaotic Pussy should win a potty.
Should that be our next podcast as our nominees for the podcast awards? Of the year?
That's a good idea.
That actually would be a pretty good bit.
That's a good idea. Speaking of vibrators, I've seen that tweet going around of like the new like clit vibrating or clit sensitive whatever, and just like
the rose,
maybe, I don't know, but
with the suction,
Yeah, maybe.
I own one of those. Just saying.
Ladies.
Ladies.
But I just know there's a lot of, like, Debbie Downer men being like, I guess I'm done.
I'm out.
Yeah, just like, I can't compete with that. It's like...
I mean, pocket pussies have existed for a long time.
And fucking, you need... Nothing replaces meat on meat. Like, you can have your friends on Discord, but it's not going to be the same as hanging out in the same room.
What was the... I guess you'd call it a meme of sorts. It's basically the J.D. Vance technique of, like, taking the...
Couch?
Yeah, the couch, but you get, like, a Ziploc bag, and you fill it with some sort of gel or something and put it between
the couch cushions. I didn't know that's what J.D. got down like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if I've said this on this podcast before, but I'm a dry guy, so anything that requires any sort of setup is just way too much for me. I'm not involved. It's too much work. I'm just trying to get the demons out and move on with my fucking day.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, so like with the Game Awards, they nominated. I've been trying to stick more on the subject here with this podcast, right? Because we tend to wander a bit. I wanted to finish with the Game Awards. They have, or my thoughts with it. Mm-hmm. So they nominated... Like, it's like four or five RPGs for Game of the Year. I didn't actually look at the list myself. I've just kind of heard it through hearsay or whatever. But are you pulling up
our nominees.
Yeah, I might as well pull them up there. Yeah. But from my understanding, it's a lot of RPGs and like, people, it's fun to always read gamers' reactions to this stuff because the idea of like gaming as a community on the internet is actually regardless of what developers try and pitch it as, like, it's some of the dumbest motherfuckers on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of shit that goes out there of trying to be like, oh, we're such an inclusive space and all this. It's like, no. Like, there are small pockets mm-hmm. where as a queer person or as a woman or any marginalized identity, you can feel like you're respected and listened to. But even then, those companies only want your money. They don't actually give a fuck about you. Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, trying to pretend that, like, the people who consume these products as a whole are less social than most people because they're doing it in the privacy of their own homes. It's not something you have to leave your house for. Mm. I don't know. I mean, movies and TV are the same way as well, but yeah, I feel like gamers in general are just some of the worst people. And that's why, you know, it becomes very difficult to talk about one of the things that I spend most of my time consuming and thinking about because most people that participate in this hobby are just the worst.
And your Game of the Year nominees are...
Your Game of the Year nominees are...
Metaphor, ReFantazio...
What do you think that game's about? Let's give me a description without... Metaphor, ReFantazio.
I'm assuming it's some sort of Italian, like, decoding game. Uh-huh. Where you have to, like, be the master of Rome and Sicily.
Yeah, you got it. That's it.
Astrobot.
What's Astrobot about?
We sent a drone up into Mars.
You don't know what Astrobot is, to be clear.
I do.
Okay, you do. Okay, all right. Okay.
We sent a drone to Mars, and it's trying to conquer Mars for America, and then it'll soon take on other planets. Black Myth Wukong.
Do you know that one?
I'm assuming it's a black samurai.
No, it's not that woke. It's just the Journey to the West.
Okay.
Yeah.
Final Soul Fantasy Link. 7 Rebirth.
Yeah, that one's pretty obvious.
Yeah, Cloud gets born 7 times.
Yeah.
Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, I got spoiled.
That's the game. What did you get spoiled on?
That it's DLC of Elden Ring.
Yeah. Well, it takes place, like, during the narrative. You go to, like, this alternate timeline or something.
Uh-huh.
It's weird that, like, they could have... Theoretically, they could have put it out for $40 and given you... And not had you... play the base game because basically when you start the game you're at like level at the DLC you're at like level one. You have to collect these items in the world to be able to even like do any damage to bosses.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get to that point you have to have played so much of the base game. Like I get why they didn't do that, because if you're a brand new player and you hear, oh, there's this smaller DLC out, I'm gonna try this, you're just gonna get your fucking ass kicked in a way that you do in all those games. But that the DLC in particular does not hold your hand as far as like, you know, guiding you on any sort of path in the same way that like the main game did. But.
And our final nominee was Balatro, which I'm assuming is some sort of Portuguese remake of Garfield. leave a 5-star review on Spotify for Chaotic Pussy or Winning Time Tapes. Leave a comment in the YouTube video for Winning Time Tapes and we'll endorse whatever got the most reviews.
Yeah, exactly. Balatro is a roguelike card game, to my understanding, based on like a poker. What's the poker game that everybody plays?
Just Texas Hold'em?
Texas Hold'em. Okay. Yeah, like Texas Hold'em.
Nice.
But yeah, those are the Game of the Year nominees. No Zelda.
No Zelda.
Metaphor Re Fantasio.
Yeah.
It's by the guys who did Persona.
Oh, okay.
So it's another one. It's just Persona, but in a different... I don't know what the actual lore is behind it, but you watch that game for 5 minutes and you're like, oh, this is Persona. Like, you're literally even like melding monsters together in the same way you are in Persona games. And just really great art, music, all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh yeah, these guys still know how to make this type of game really, really well.
Is that the front runner, you think?
That'll probably win, if I had to guess.
And now, what is Astrobot?
Do you actually not know what Astrobot is? I don't know. Astrobot is basically just Sony's new mascot. It's the little guy that, like, on your PS4, there was a thing, like, Astrobot's Playroom.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yes,
have you seen this?
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be, like, their mascot. And, like, obviously a lot of that shit just, like, fell flat. Because why wouldn't it? But they realized, maybe Playroom was the thing. There was a game that came out with the PS5 that was supposed to, like, demonstrate their new controller and, like, the new vibration stuff in it. Uh-huh. And it starred Astrobot. And it was just, like, this simple platformer. And it was a world based on, like, PlayStation.
Okay.
So it just had a bunch of references to PlayStation things. So it was a smaller experience. It's, like, 10 to 12 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they took that. But it was very well received. They took that idea and blew it out into a big, like, 30, 40-hour experience. Gotcha. And it has references to all the Sony franchises you can think of. So you're running into, you know, your Kratoses and your Aloys and all these characters from, you know, Sony's past, Crash Bandicoot, all that kind of stuff. And it's just presenting, it's basically a relatively simple platformer that has some challenging segments, but its entire bit is that it's just like in the Sony world.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. It feels a little, I haven't played it myself, but it feels a little just like a big advertisement.
Yeah. What is your game of the year?
The fuck is my game of the year?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't play that much new stuff. It's hard. Like, what did I play this year? My game of the year? Let's see.
I have one if you're going to look up your Steam library.
Yeah.
Click Holding.
That's the...
Yeah. And there's a guy...
I watched a playthrough of this.
Yeah, no.
What is Click Holding about?
Click Holding is just literally what it sounds. There's a cuckold in a chair... who used to be the guy who clicks, but now he pays you $14,000 so that you could click 10,000 times for him to, like, just, you know, come to orgasm. And he, like, makes you, like, throughout the different points in the game as you're just clicking as fast as you can, he's like, no, stand over there. Turn the temperature down.
Yeah.
Go in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Look at this painting at various points. And then at the end, as like he's like, it has to end. Please finish this for me. As you're just sitting on 99999, and when you click 10,000, he shoots himself.
Spoilers.
There's
some fourth wall breaking stuff in that game too, though.
Yeah, and then
I watched a playthrough of it.
And then after that, you then look at one of the paintings.
You can keep clicking.
Yeah, you keep clicking. You go into a painting, and there's like this being that apparently like cursed him with being obsessed with clicking in the first place. Mm-hmm. And basically, then you take his place, and you're just the guy clicking. And you can click, like, up to a million times, and, like, nothing happens. You keep clicking, expecting something new to happen.
Yeah.
But nothing ever happens. And you just are now the clickhold. That's what you learn and come around by. You could stop at any point, but you're clicking for your enjoyment. Because like, you love clicking.
It's like poetry.
Yeah.
It rhymes.
Yeah.
Those type of games, and I unfortunately need to play... I just need to play more of that type of stuff, because I think that's where I'd find more satisfying experiences with videos... gaming experiences, because at 35 years old the big AAA shit doesn't do it. I did spend week and a half playing God of War Ragnarok earlier this year, which probably was like my most
played game,
emotionally invested game, because I did most of the things in it. I didn't know what the fuck was happening in the narrative half the time, but from what I understand, they had planned to make 3 games and they condensed it down into 2.
Yeah.
So that's why the narrative is a little all over the place. But yeah, that game rocked, because you get to kill, you know, you're killing gods and doing the Kratos thing. I don't think the emotional stuff hit as much for me this time around, just because it felt like they had already done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first game, actually, as someone who doesn't have children, it felt like probably one of the best written father and son stories in gaming that I had experienced. At least where you were also like chopping the heads off demons and stuff, you know, like there are definitely some more narrative focused games that probably had better written father and son characters. Yeah, but yeah, as far as like what the meat of the gameplay was in this, it was pretty fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
And then this time around, it's more about Atreus like coming into his own as a man. And it didn't feel as like, I think the first, I think the first game, if you were someone like me who had played those early games growing up and they were just dumb action games, right? Kratos just screaming and killing the Greek pantheon.
Yeah.
The narrative in the first game was just as much speaking to that transition as it was the characters themselves. There was kind of a meta narrative there,
yeah,
of like the player themselves growing up and wanting more out of their gaming experiences, you know? Even though it is at the end of the day, again, just chopping the heads off of stuff.
Right.
But this, the second one, you know, they, similar to the fucking Twilight, it's like, it's like everything is like good. Basically sequels are bad. Like everything is good as like a singular idea, but then there's always like, well, we got to keep going.
Yeah.
Just trying to squeeze the most amount of money from it as possible.
Yeah. The IP worked once. That was new.
Yeah.
How many times can it work again?
Yeah.
Despicable Me 6.
Yeah. They do a good thing, a cool thing in the new God of War games where Tyr exists. He's like the Norse God of War.
Uh-huh.
And in the storyline, it talks about how he went to all these different civilizations. Mm. And you see parts of those where it's like, oh, he went to Egypt and he went to there. You never go there in game. But in your head, it does the fantasy of like, oh, man, they might make a God of War Egypt or a God of War Japan or whatever. But I think those are probably, I think I'm realizing that those are also just like fantasies. Like Assassin's Creed this year, it was supposed to go to Japan. Well, it ended up getting delayed because of woke.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the Black
that
Samurai.
That was the Black Samurai game that did not come out.
Right.
I don't think it's actually because of woke. I think that studio is just like barely keeping it together.
Yeah.
I think that game's coming out in February now. But yeah, looking at my games that I played this year, dude, like on Steam.
Yeah.
Like, it's less than 20.
Uh-huh.
And most of those are like things that I like either bought this year and installed and never actually played. Like games.
Oh, there you go. Lovely Planet. That's the other one of like the songs I showed you with that lovely city. Like could have been the intro of the show.
Yeah. Lovely Planet rules.
Yeah.
It's a first person shooter where you're like clicking and
yes,
shooting and it's just a vibey game.
Mm.
Yeah. Big games I finished this year. Spider-Man. And Marvel Ragnarok and God of War Ragnarok, and I think that was about it.
You play a lot of Tekken 8?
No, I played it when it first came out.
Was that not this year?
It was like February or whatever. Yeah. January, February.
Oh, another game that came out this year that I played through and enjoyed was, have you heard of Thank Goodness You're Here?
No.
It's this game where it's take place in like a northern British town, and all you do is you do little tasks for a town. But to interact with anything, you have to slap it in the ass. So just like, it's like, oh, thank goodness you're here after you slap it. Being like, now go like retrieve my wrench from the baker or whatever. And it's just fun little. And then it gets.
Wait, what type of game are we talking about? First person, third person?
It's third like person.
Adventure game style.
It's like side scrolly presentation, but you do like move around in a 3D space to go doing tasks for people, basically.
So it's an adventure game.
Kind of, yeah. And just very comedy forward.
Yeah.
Barbara, get the big plates out.
Oh, Nigel.
Give your wife the best. Give her Big Ron's big pies.
Except there are points where it gets really just David Lynch ethereal and weird, where like you go to the butcher and you have to jump into like its meat pile, and then you just see like souls of meat out of nowhere of like people that have died and like lost their dreams.
Yeah.
But then otherwise it's like, oh, you gotta help out the Scottish guy get revenge on the fisherman. And just really, really funny, short little game.
Do you ever play Spiritfarer?
No.
It's another game that has to deal with souls and stuff that I've been meaning to get to, but the thing is like there are so many games that come out now. Like sitting down at the end of the workday it's very difficult to start something new.
Yeah.
I think it's so much, that's why nostalgia plays and so well and stuff. It's so much easier to return to something you're familiar with. It requires so much less brain power when you're already fucking drained from the workday and like, you know, life in general or whatever.
I keep restarting projects because of that, just because it's easier to like, oh, I've had the space of when I did this thing the first time and I could just do it again instead of like trying to think of a new thing to go at.
What kind of projects are you starting?
Oh, just like, well, random shit like this Winning Time Tapes thing, like, I had an idea for what it was more so being way more interview style than like casual podcast conversation.
Then you realize it's easier just to hit record and just start.
That and they're just like after the first.
Just start letting your mind flow. Just be like, yeah, I don't know, come video games.
Yeah. A good like 4 to 5 different guests. And then it just became recycling those same 4 or 5 people. Yeah. And just like. Like, it's good, and I like talking to them, but I should just be, like, I can't really interview, unless it's, like, something where, say, like, Game Awards are coming up, what are we going to talk about? Like, this week could be the Game Awards episode, or the whatever.
This kind of turned into the Game Awards episode.
This is the Game Awards episode.
Yeah. Let's see what else is nominated. Did you
sure, I can pull up other categories.
Let's talk about more video games. Because anybody that listens to this podcast, that, I think the only people who listen to this podcast are people that play video games, for the most part.
Yeah.
Besides the handful of middle schoolers that are only here to hear their former mentors
talk shit about something.
use words like pussy and boner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, game of the year, we went through best game direction, the same 6 games.
So stupid. So dumb.
Best narrative, new games, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth.
Yeah.
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2, and Silent Hill 2. I thought Silent Hill came out like in 2011.
Silent Hill 2 came out in like 2001.
Okay, yeah.
or like 1999. It's the remake.
Okay.
Which from all the previews looked like dog shit, but apparently turned out pretty good. Not a game I played as a child because it would have given me horrific nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's going to win. The other two, what was it? It was
Like a Dragon, Senua Saga, and then Metaphor was back up, and Final Fantasy VII was back up.
Yeah, so as far as best narrative goes, like, the winner there is probably going to be Silent Hill, because that's the most serious narrative. Rebirth has a chance, just because it's taking the Final Fantasy story that we all know in a different direction. Senua Saga is on there, because that game sucks. they made a sequel. The first one was Hellblade.
Yeah.
That game, I tried to play it. I played about 2 hours of it. The main character is basically schizophrenic. Okay. But she hears a bunch of voices in her head, and they simulate that really well. And it wasn't, like, triggering for me, but I just found it really annoying. Because it's like, they're not really... I'm not invested in this character yet. And so you're, like, going through this world, or, you know, you're trying to do the thing, and you're platforming, and some shitty combat happens. And you just hear all these voices, like, you know... It's really cool with, like, headphones on, but it's not... like good. Uh-huh. And so, but it has like a lot of unique visuals and stuff like that. So they do the same thing in the second game, but bigger, but like none of the gameplay is interesting. So like it makes sense that they would just be like, yeah, best narrative.
I haven't watched Game of the Awards in the past. I don't know if you, have you paid attention to it? Or?
Yeah. Cause like since E3 died, man, we don't get an E3 anymore. And yeah. I love seeing the new world premiere. Uh-huh. There was a decade of my life, Cameron, where I spent every June for 3 to 5 days on Discord with a buddy watching the game, the E3 press conferences. Like that was our shit because that's like, it's like the only time where you get to feel something.
Yeah. It was Christmas for gamers.
Yeah. As a gamer, like, especially as an adult, you're just like, okay, like here's new products to get excited about.
Because I didn't know if like from an award show thing, if it's like, kind of the Oscars where it's just one game dominates everything, or if it's more like, oh, we have all these awards where it's basically the same 6 games the whole time because this gets an award for that and that gets an award for that.
The thing is that there's sometimes really bad years for games, right? Like especially with the pandemic, it was like 2021 or 2022. There just like wasn't that much good stuff that came out.
Yeah.
I think they've been doing it for a decade now. And I remember 2017 in particular because the game that won was The Lord of the Rings Shadow of War.
Okay.
Which was the sequel to War, Mordor War, I don't know.
Yeah.
Basically, like, Assassin's Creed, but Lord of the Rings, with some unique mechanics. That game was, like, above average at best any other year. And for whatever reason, because there just wasn't a lot of stuff out that year.
Cool.
That, yes, that one. I mean, this happens in every, you know, medium, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really care so much about the winners, because, again, at the end of the day, it's, like, it's more about the weird stuff that happens around the show.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, you know, they had a guy... Like, speaking of God of War, the voice actor, his name is slipping my mind now. He was on Stargate. Did you ever watch Stargate SG-1?
No, I have not.
He was the big alien guy that was part of the main crew. But he gave a speech for about 15 minutes.
Christopher Judge?
Yes, he got on stage. It was like the first award of the night for like best voice actor or something. Dude gets up there and literally talks for like 20 plus minutes. Like, they were playing music and he just ignored it. And people were just like, I don't know. It was fucking crazy. And so now, of course, they reference that the following year where, like, right. He got up for something and did like a bit about it. Because it's not the Oscars, it's not as well produced. So there's a lot more weird shit that happens. I think it was that same year. I forgot who won the award for Game of the Year, but that entire development studio is on stage and some kid. Who he's like this 13-year-old kid, and he's like a known individual on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Like, he shows up to a lot of things and tries to get into stuff. He's like a trust fund kid or something.
Yeah.
But he just walked on stage with them, and he was just up there. And then after they all gave their acceptance speeches, did you see any of this?
No.
After they all gave their acceptance speeches, he comes up and like,
hey, Matan. You know, real quick, I want to thank everybody and say that I think I want to nominate this award to my Reformed Orthodox Rabbi, Bill Clinton. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Bill Clinton, for like, like, he just like said some nonsense, like 4chan internet shit.
Yeah.
And like, this was all broadcast live. Like, nobody was like, oh, who is this? So you get crazy shit like that happens, which I find interesting. And then obviously there's just all the new video games for me to do soy face at.
You know? Right.
But
would you want video games to be more... I don't know, fucking, I guess you'd call it respected and polished, or do you want it to be, like, very memery and, like, people are never going to, like, take it seriously and thus, like, kind of struggle financially at times?
I think video games have reached their peak in a lot of ways, especially with the big budget AAA, quadruple A experiences.
Mm-hmm.
They just cost way too much money to make. The thing is, like, as the fidelity got higher, as far as, like, the visuals and audio and all that, it's so much money that goes into making them, and like, in order for them to return a profit, it has to be something like a Call of Duty that just sells an insane amount and has microtransactions on top of it. Like, most games cannot reach that level. And so, especially like single player, like narrative driven experiences, which is what most people like hold in like high regard.
Uh-huh.
So I think video games as a whole have been on the decline, not in like their quality necessarily, but just like, we're not going to see, like, the next generation of consoles is not going to bring some great jump. In fact, like, they're already talking about, you know, the next Xbox and the next PlayStation. You know, they haven't announced anything officially, but, like, the developers are talking openly about this stuff. And Sony and Xbox are. It doesn't even feel like this generation of consoles had any, like, standout games.
Yeah.
You know? There was no great leap forward as far as the technology goes.
That's why, like... It's interesting being a gay little Nintendo guy, yeah. Because Wii U obviously got shafted.
Yeah.
But Switch was clearly way more Switch popular. And like,
and Switch 2 is coming out next year.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's going to sell insane because it's just going to run all your Switch stuff better, theoretically.
Yeah.
And like, that's all we want. Like, yeah, put out new games. That's cool. But if I can play Breath of the Wild at 60 FPS natively on the system.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. Like, that's all I need. It's weird because I was never a Nintendo kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of nostalgia for those franchises. But now, I mean, my Switch mostly just sits on my desk here, you know, in standby mode.
Right.
But as far as like things I would play video games on, it is something more like that handheld format.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of that is because I'm always looking at the computer. If I had a TV, I would always be looking at the TV.
Right.
Having a separate thing to be like, here's the different screen that I can take with me. I can go... Theoretically, I could go outside or I could go over to a friend's house and sit on their couch.
Yeah.
It does lend itself to a more social interaction than like a console or PC does just by the nature of it being mobile.
Yeah. Because one thing that they're smart about with that was with the DS and 3DS, there was so much of it that was like, so many games were in Pokemon or Animal Crossing, New Leaf or whatever, that you do interact with other people.
Yeah.
That in a way that like, you only do that in the Microsoft Sony way by being in the same lobby.
Yeah.
Whereas like, technically you could replace that with bots, even though it's not like quite the same because it's just, you know, difficulty level and all that. Whereas there are some parts of the game you don't really have access to without going about and making friends in real life with the 3DS and DS.
I think that's why, I mean, I think I understand and why we connect a little bit on video games, because you are, you weren't, even though you grew up in a generation where the consoles were always online, mm-hmm. you played the consoles that were not.
No, yeah, I still play the N64. I think 2 days ago, I was just playing Tetris with Rebecca on that.
Yeah, like you understand, like you've, the couch aspect of gaming.
Yeah, couch, yeah.
And I think that's what's led to video games as a whole not feeling as good anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because like when you don't grow up with siblings playing games that are not competitive and just enjoying, like, yes, it's great to like play with your sibling competitive games and like that's fucking like any time thing. But when your only in-person interaction with someone else is like Smash Brothers, it's horrible if you don't know how to interact with someone to a game in any other way. You're just always putting yourself in a spot where being on the couch playing with someone is just bad at yelling and screaming if that's all you knew that gaming could be in person from ages 5 to 9. Then, of course, you're just going to be on Discord and make arguments with people on Reddit when you grow up.
One of the other categories they have here, ongoing game, I find very silly because it's like, it's the same games mm-hmm. every year.
Yeah.
Because they're ongoing, right? And it's like, these are just established franchises at this point. So it's Fortnite.
Okay.
Really, there's two games in here that are like the games. It's Fortnite. It's Final Fantasy 14.
Mm.
Diablo 4.
Okay.
Helldivers 2. And Destiny 2.
Not Fall Guys?
No Fall Guys. I guess Roblox is more of a platform than a game.
Yeah.
Right? But it is like, that is the other game.
Uh-huh.
As far as ongoing is concerned, Diablo is not like, everybody hates that game that plays it.
Yeah.
Like it's not well received. It had an expansion this year. That's why it's on the list.
Oh, okay.
Helldivers famously went from like hundreds of thousands of players to like 10,000 or so a day. It's still a lot of people, mm-hmm. like comparatively. But it's not, I think the thing is they're more recognizing studios for continuing to support these games in some ways.
So it was like GTA 5, a long time member.
Yeah,
of this
like that.
List.
Like that would be, that GTA 5 has more people probably playing online than Helldivers 2.
Yeah,
or close to it.
Okay.
Destiny 2 literally is like on its deathbed. Like they put out the last expansion. It's not. They're still going to give it some small updates, but that game is not continuing. So I think that's more of a, I could see them giving it to Destiny 2.
Uh-huh. My friends Jacob and Michael still, like, Destiny 2 is their favorite game.
Is their game, yeah. I mean, it's very cool, but it's something that, like, it definitely is not going to exist in a real way in, like, another two years. So I could see them saying, like, oh, this is the final year for it or whatever.
Yeah. Although, people have been saying that about my favorite game, Super Smash Bros. Melee, which turned 23 years old yesterday, that community will die.
What's the when we're talking like tournament sign-up numbers at Genesis, which mm-hmm. is the biggest tournament for Smash Brothers, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what the numbers are as far as sign-ups versus Ultimate?
Ultimate?
Melee versus Ultimate?
I don't know versus Ultimate. I just know Melee gets like 1,100, 1,200.
Melee sign-ups, Genesis.
The biggest Melee tournament ever had 2,100, and that was EVO 2016. If I could do a brief Melee minute, as you did Magic last week. We had a super major, Don't Park the Grass in Seattle. Really fun. Top four was all four people that have never won a major, and all from different countries. And a new person winning a major is insane in Melee, because it's normally, for years it's been just the same five people win every event. So a new guy has won, named Moki, and that had 800 people at it for Melee.
I think that's natural, though, because players are going to lose interest over time, especially when, like, if it's literally only playing for the enjoyment of the game. Like, if you're making more money via streaming.
Yeah.
Which a lot of those guys probably wouldn't
Mango and HungryBucks definitely make way more money streaming.
Why would you care to, like,
train for a tournament or even like focus all your efforts on it. You know what I
mean? Because you're not a good streamer and you don't want to get a real job.
Well, not a good streamer, but making money from streaming.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So,
well, I don't know. A lot of male players are actually bad at streaming.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's a similar thing that happens with a lot of older games and other fighting games.
Like, yeah.
Ultimate versus Capcom 3, Marvel versus Capcom 3 was a game at Evo this last year.
Yeah.
And the guys who won were not guys that were part of the scene 10 years ago, but that's because they were 8 years old.
Right.
And it's not because they're so much better than like a Justin Wong. It's just like Justin Wong has like a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like he's like in content creation now. He's not grinding the game 24/7. So I think, I mean, I get what you're saying, but like the same guys that were winning at 22 are not going to be the same guys winning at 40 just because they're not going to play the game as much.
Sure.
Also, you're just going to naturally, your skills are going to diminish over time.
Right. Like that's why, like, you know, Hungrybox hasn't won anything in years. But Mango, for example, did win 2 back-to-back majors this year, but there's still like a bunch of 20-year-olds that are playing the game that have won majors. Like, these names aren't going to mean anything to you, but Zane, Wizrobe, Cody, who's the new like number one player, they were all there, mm-hmm. but they lost to these new guys or mm-hmm. New guys in terms of winning a major. They've been in the scene since like, you know, 2015. So yeah, that's my little Melee minute of just, interest I could see falling off of the game, but for some reason, like, every couple of years, a new sponsor gets tricked into investing in Melee.
Yeah.
Like, currently, it's this company called Nouns.
Yeah.
Is, like, sponsoring, like 3 players and, like, their own events.
They sound woke.
Yeah, they do.
Pronouns.
Because, like, last time this kind of came around was this company called Golden Guardians. Mm. Had, like, a Melee team.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously, they try to, like, squeeze content out of Melee, but that's the thing with Melee that sucks for these people is, like, it's not a great streaming game. It just, like, you kind of know what Melee looks like, and without, like, personalities, like, doing something new with the game, or, like, really putting time into the off-season of Melee, mm-hmm. then, yeah, it is going to slowly lose interest and die if top player...
I don't know how any org, like, exists beyond, like, a year or two. Like,
yeah.
I feel like they should all fold. Like, none of them are profitable, right?
Well...
They just constantly rely on, like, venture capital.
Uh-huh.
And be like, I don't know how any of these things turn a profit.
Well, I think... It comes, again, from the streaming. Like, Mango of C9 probably does more as a streamer for them than as a player.
Oh, okay.
And same with Leffen with TSM.
Yeah.
Because those are, like, big orgs in, like, other esports.
Right. Yeah, I think, like, if you have a League or a Dota team or a Counter-Strike team in Europe, I can understand where those can flourish.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're a fighting game guy, like, I don't know how the fighting game focus orgs stick around for... And they don't.
Yeah, they don't. I've seen many fall.
They come and go.
Panda Global had its whole falling out.
Evil Geniuses isn't a thing anymore either, right?
I think it... Isn't it?
Is Evil Geniuses...
I think Evil Genius still has a Dota team, but it's now, like, worse because...
They've shrunk a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that Evil Genius Dota player who, like... Oh, my God. Grink is going to kill me for not knowing this guy's name.
Arteezy.
Yes, literally Arteezy.
Yeah.
That's
still
crazy.
He's still streaming.
He streams, yeah.
Yeah. Dendy's still streaming.
Yeah, Dendy's a good streamer.
That other guy that was on EG back in the day. No Tail?
No Tail? That's my OG
him,
guy.
I just see him post with his dogs on Instagram. I assume he's still playing the video game, but he seems to just be enjoying his...
He's more managing OG now.
Yeah, his, you know...
Him and Seb, they're still top sim, but he's no longer on OG.
Yeah.
I can go a whole thing about my love for that OG Dota 2 run.
It's a fun narrative.
Yeah, dude, because when it happened, it, like, was a team that, like... Going into TI8... All their players, like, went away
right.
for, like, 4 months.
Yeah.
So they had to get new guys. Yeah. They had to go in through open qualifiers.
Not necessarily underdogs, because they were all, like, good players, but definitely they weren't a team that had been around for a long time.
No, because, well, and Thompson never even was at a major before. He only played pubs.
Yeah, he was just a pub stomp guy.
And they got him and went all the way through losing, beating PSG. It's crazy.
Is PSG the same as the... Football club?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Can I go over some more game awards nominees?
Yes, yeah.
So I want to see how many... We talked about, you know, video game movies and stuff earlier.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we have the best adaptation.
Okay.
Fallout, which is the Amazon TV show.
Yeah.
Like a Dragon, Yakuza. I didn't know that was a thing.
Me neither.
Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft.
I have seen trailers for that movie.
They're doing a new Lara Croft movie?
Yeah.
That's crazy. There's like four of those already.
Yeah.
That like released in theaters.
Yeah.
Well, there was the two Angelina Jolie ones, and then they did another one with a new gal.
Yeah. So
there's at least three.
Mm-hmm.
Easy movie to do, though. It's just an adventure or whatever.
Yeah. Like Uncharted, like had a movie last year.
Yeah. Apparently, they're talking about doing another one of those, too, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 2 years ago.
It was
I want to say that was like January 22, that movie.
That might have been 2 years ago.
No. Arcane, which is the League of Legends.
Oh, anime. Yes, yeah.
And then Knuckles. There's a Knuckles cartoon or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's a Paramount Plus live action thing.
That's the thing, is they're all on these different like streaming services. So like, unless I'm actively seeking them out, aka downloading them to my Plex server,
right?
I'm not going to see any of this. I watched Fallout. Fallout was good.
Yeah.
But I really, none of that other stuff, it doesn't do anything for me. There's another category here. Oh, we'll come back to that one.
Okay.
I want to know if you know of any of these independent games.
Okay.
UFO 50.
Heard of it, never seen it.
Do you know what the conceit is? Are you familiar?
What's that?
The idea is like there's a whole meta narrative where like this company developed these games for this console that never came out.
Okay.
I think the console is called the UFO. The UFO or the UFO 50. It's 50 games. And so some of them were like fairly involved, and they had all these different developers make games for this fake console.
Mm-hmm.
But like the meta narrative is just real. There's like, you're unlocking lore about like the company and stuff. Okay. It's kind of interesting, but the games are actually really cool. Animal Well.
Never heard of that.
That's, you know, video game Donkey.
Yes.
That's like his studio's like first.
Oh, okay.
First game that they put out. Apparently that's pretty great. I've never heard of these other ones. Neva?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it even looks like.
Balatro?
Yeah, Balatro.
It's a poker roguelike.
Portuguese Garfield?
Portuguese Garfield.
Garfield e seus amigos. Confusão. Eu sou de verdade. Vocês é que são desenho.
I saw... been in bed the last 3 days just watching Magic content on my phone. And one of those was, do you know Wubby? Wubby makes games, or Wubby makes Magic. I don't know.
I think, yeah.
He opens packs and is a guy on the internet. He was giving away a card. I forget. He was describing it by its English word.
Uh-huh.
But in French, the word is retard.
Yeah.
And so it was the French card. And he had it graded. It was like a 9.5. And he was using it as like a giveaway. Just this Magic card that says retard on it. It was very funny, but not like giving away the joke at all. He was saying the French version of negate or whatever the term was. Yeah. It was like a counterspell.
Yeah.
It was very good. Yes, Portuguese Garfield. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes.
No idea.
That sounds like some woke bullshit. I'm going to tell you right now. It sounds like a girl who got like her eyes replaced and learns to like see again, but
probably
something. I don't know.
She can only see in Predator stickers. Just like, oh, that person can't get too close to that person.
Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. Laser Eyes.
I think that's going to be my next single. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes.
Good band name.
Yeah. All right. It's been over an hour that I got to chop this up.
Is this too long for you?
I think it's getting there.
Let me see if there's any other good categories here real quick. You did get a Mario Party nomination.
For Jamboree?
For best multiplayer game.
Sick.
I feel like that should win.
And what else is an option?
It's like Call of Duty, Tekken, Helldivers, and the Warhammer game that came out, Space Marine 2. A lot of these, it's like they get nominated, but it's like, who's still playing that?
I feel like Mario games are like the Star Wars of video games, where in the sense where they might occasionally get nominated for one thing, but they're never there to win. They're never going to win an award for anything.
You know what the real, like, this actually feels like an insult. You know, there was that Legend of Zelda game, Echoes of Wisdom.
Yeah.
It was nominated for Best Family Game.
Family Game.
In the same way, you could nominate other Zelda games as family games, but it's because this one has a girl in it?
I mean,
is that why it's a family game?
I mean, you're describing God of War as a pretty family game.
That's true. Very true. Games for Impact.
Games for Incels. This year's Incel Game of the Year. Balatro.
It's Counter-Strike. It's always Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike or World of Warcraft. That's where they're all hanging out these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, this is the video game episode.
Again.
If you wanted to hear two guys who only play video games that are 20 years old.
Yes.
Talk about new video games for an hour.
Yes.
This was your episode.
The only other thing I had was the Disney Christmas Day game alt broadcast of the Knicks Spurs game that's going to happen.
Why is that of note?
You could bet how many churros Goofy is going to eat during halftime.
Wait, is it on Disney Channel or something?
It's on Disney and ESPN. They're gonna. It's
It's like how they do
Dunks the Halls.
Oh, okay.
It's like how football had the Nickelodeon alt broadcast. They're doing a Disney alt broadcast
because the kids are sitting around watching the TV anyways, making it entertaining for them. Oh, podcasts.
Yeah, the podcast awards.
Best podcast. Yeah, yeah. The podcasters, podcasts of the year coming. Yeah.
Episode 16 will be the podcast awards.
Chaotic Pussy presents Podcaster Awards 2025, sponsored by Winning Time.
Sponsored by Truly. Sponsored by Dollar Shave Club.
Sponsored by Blue Chew.
Sponsored by Audible.
Sponsored by Chew.
Sponsored by Audacity.
Sponsored by The Share Zone.
Sponsored by Truly.
Sponsored by UFC.
Sponsored by Beef Jerky.
Sponsored by Matt 8 Social Pub.
Sponsored by Truly.
Sponsored by WWE Bad Blood.
Sponsored by Pick.
Sponsored by Harry and Lloyd's Fuck Around Town 2025.
Sponsored by Dollar Shave Club.
Sponsored by Fuck.
Sponsored by Truly.
Sponsored by...